We're a desperate team that want to get back to playing finals footy.
Just try and enjoy the journey because it won't be there forever.
We're just trying to build respect and trying to change the perception around Melbourne Football Club.
Yeah, this is just an absolute gift showing us where we need to work on.
Best didn't get us the win, but all we can ask is to bring out the best we can bring.
Thinking, what have I done? You know, how did it happen?
You don't just give kids games because they're high draft picks. That's as simple as that.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Yeah, it's nice to have your company on a Thursday morning. Looks like a nice morning too, just by the way, if you're out there in Melbourne town. Enjoy the day and sit back and listen to the Inner Sanctum today from the Carlton Football Club inside the Blues with the co-captain, Sam Doherty, who joins us on a Thursday morning. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning. Thanks for having me in again.
Nice to have you with us. Bit to talk about with your football club. So what we thought we'd do is we thought we'd really lawyer up, so to speak, get another one in to help us through. And not just anyone. The AFL Games record holder, Brent Harvey, has joined us to go through the rest of the morning with us on the Breakfast Club. Good morning, Boomer.
Good morning, boys. Feels a little bit different here on a Thursday other than the Friday. Brad Johnson, the good man, he's filling in for me tomorrow.
He is.
Of course, the Kangas play in Perth, and I've got to head over there.
I want to know why you're flying so early tomorrow. Well, what's going on?
I don't know.
There?
It's an 8:15 flight.
You're playing 8:10 Saturday night.
Mate, I'm not. Who do we fly with? Virgin. I'm not Virgin. Qantas? Virgin?
Virgin?
No, I'm not Virgin.
It's a very unusual time.
I've got no idea. Yeah, I do like sitting over here, though, Whitey. Yeah. I feel like. So, you know, in football, when it works, you start in the guts. The next year, you're at the halfback flank. Then you're in the back pocket. Then you're on the bench, and you're sort of thinking, I'm getting the gist here. It's working opposite here for me, Sam. I was where you're sitting. I move one to me right. There's only one more spot for me half.
You want my chair?
You know where it is, don't you? No, I'm not sure I can get up this early every single morning.
There's a reason.
I'm not sure whether you, Daniel and I can either.
We're getting through. We're getting through. Just like the Blues are at the moment, because it's all you can do. One foot in front of the other, Doc. How's your week been?
Yeah, It's been interesting. I think there's been, as probably everyone's aware, there's a fair bit of external noise or pressure or whatever you want to call it outside the club. But I was just saying before, the internal of the club, we're really focused on this week's game and getting better as a footy club. And I think the weekend's game showed us that we've got to put in a lot more hard work to be able to compete well with the top teams of the comp. And we're under no illusions that we need to do that, and that's what this week's been about, which hasn't been that different to most other weeks. But it's been a big focus on making sure that our skill level's better than it was on the weekend.
Yeah, that was a lackluster skill performance on Saturday night, no doubt. So there's a couple of things in that, just in that answer. It's been a busy week. A lot of people talking about your footy club. Port Adelaide are a serious football team. I tipped them to win the premiership. Not sure if anyone else in the room did.
I did.
You did too. Boomer did too. So the three of us have tipped Port Adelaide to be premiers. You played them on the weekend, you lose by, it was 20-odd points in the end.
28.
28, was it, Boomer?
Yep.
Which is probably a little bit flattering in the game, I must admit, being there live. But they're a serious contender. Do you think the reaction to the performance has been over the top, or is it justified purely from your view?
Oh, I think as much as everyone tips Port to be up there, I think a lot of people expected us to be contending up towards the eight as well. So
yep, I did
you'd
that.
Expect a better performance than you did in the weekend. So I understand the commentary around it all. Whether it's completely justified it doesn't really matter, to be honest. It's people get paid in the media to have their opinions on things, and our game on the weekend was probably one of the bigger games on the weekend in terms of the whole league and the narrative of the league. So we didn't perform the way we wanted to particularly, and then Port played pretty well, and Port are a very good side. So, if anything, it shows us that the benchmark that we need to get to be able to play in those games at the end of the year. And in the end, whether I think it's right or wrong, or other people's opinions is really irrelevant from my perspective. And Boomer would know, when you're in a footy club, you really have to focus on what's inside the club and what we're trying to chase and the standards that we're trying to produce on game day. And obviously, on the weekend, that wasn't our best version of ourselves, and we're trying to focus on bringing our best each week as consistently as we can. So that's been our focus through this week.
A little bit of hysteria for me, because if we go through the tips and every single one of us picked Port Adelaide to win, and
actually,
everybody else in the media...
For me.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I thought they could win.
Half biased, because he just picks Carlton.
Yeah, that's correct.
True. I understand game changer.
Not true. I just thought they could win.
But everybody in the media picked Port Adelaide to win. They win, as expected, and everyone jumps on. And I know there's certain parts of the game that didn't look fantastic for you guys, but you got to remember, Port Adelaide are a serious team. They're they're going to win the flag, or well, potentially win the flag. They're going to finish in the top four. Mm. They're going to finish in the top four regardless. So I think we've got to wait. Who do you got this week?
Brisbane.
Brisbane.
Another good test for us, yeah, which is awesome. It's nothing more that you want when you have a poor week in terms of the way you're playing, that you want to play the best sides.
Yep.
And we get another prelim finalist from last year this week, which is awesome for us.
You beat the teams that you're probably meant to beat this year, Gold Coast, yep. Fremantle. You've won both of them. Richmond. Oh, I'm tipping everybody pick Richmond as well. The Collingwood game, now where Collingwood are sitting, you'll probably throw a blanket over it and say, well, touch and go. But you've won the games you're meant to win. I just think it's a big reaction on the back of one loss against a very, very, very good opposition.
See, Boomer, Half and I have been, and Rammer have been arguing about Carlton for weeks. Yeah, not just in the studio, but over breakfast.
It carries over. It spills over.
And I think, Sam, you're coming in at the perfect time because, a little bit like Boomer was saying, your three losses have been against teams that finished in the top six last year, and Brisbane's another one this week. You've beaten Gold Coast at Gold Coast, and you beat Freo. So for me, you're where I think you probably not should be, but yeah, where
I'm with you
kind of are. Based on last year. So the question I've got for you is, internally, how far off, take the ladder out of it, how far off your best are you? And are you disappointed, or are you just, well, you are where you are and you've got to get a scalp to get the confidence to go to the next level?
Long question, sorry. Yeah, I'll try and deep pack it all. I don't think we've played at our best this year so far, and I think that shows a group that is developing and trying to learn exactly who we are as a group. And you look at Richmond been playing the same way for almost 5-6 years, and they're so well drilled, and I think we're on the path to that. And if you asked me this question at the start of the year about where we finish, what's the pass mark, I've always said it's about improving every week, and if we keep improving every week, results take care of themselves. I think that throughout this year our game has evolved already. I think early on, we went very, very quick and we weren't able to defend the ground. And we went a couple of weeks where we probably went ultra defensive and we went very slow. So we're trying to sort of mend our game into exactly what we're going to look like as a footy club and what we think stands up at the time that we need it to stand up. And for me individually and for the team, I don't think we've got to what our best footy is right at the moment. And I think that that's part of our growth as a group and having probably a pretty unstable group over the last 2 years, which we're still trying to build the right mix that is going forward for us. I think we've had elements of our game that's been quite good, and we've had quarters and halves that have been really good. But in the long term, I think we're still building to what we're going to be. I think we'll be a far better side in the back half of the year because we'll understand exactly who we are as a group. And this is what happens in developing groups. The guys at the top don't just pop out and they know their game plan and they just play it from day dot. There's an evolution of how they get to where they are, and then when they know that competes at the top level and they play that consistently, and you look at the teams like Port, like their identity, they just do the same thing every week, and that's just, and they win games of footy, and that builds belief. Richmond are the same; they just build belief off the back of what they do. And I watched the Making Your Mark documentary last year, and the belief and the drive that Richmond group have, based off just the known of what they're going to bring each week and what they're playing, and everyone knows everyone's on the same page. We're still building that, and that's, I think that's okay. And as a group, I've got a lot of confidence in what we've got at the club in terms of coaching and players, and I think that our group is ready to be able to compete at a high level against the best sides. It's about consistently building on what we have and being able to do that more over a game and then more over a month. And you're right, we've played some good sides this year, and we've expected to be better than what we were, and we're not hiding away from that, but it's just, it does show that we've got a lot of hard work to do internally in terms of our game plan and individual work, individual skill craft to get us to where we want to go, and we're up for that challenge, and that's what we want to do.
So what's lacking? Is it just consistency, doing it for longer, so it's a concentration thing, or are there things lacking that you as a captain are really hard on the players at the moment, saying, hey, if we're going to get to that next level, these are the things that we need to start doing and doing pretty quickly and better?
Yeah, well, there's obviously the consistency of doing what we want through games, which is an obvious one. And then I think it showed in the weekend, our skill level just has to get better. And that comes from a lot of hard work. There's a lot of breakdowns in our game where we've actually got things where we want, but then we just miss a skill that good teams don't, and that's me included. I dropped 2 marks on the weekend that cost us 2 goals that you can't do anything about other than just work harder, really. That's the reality of it. You've got to work unbelievably hard on your touch, your craft, your kicking, your marking, your ability to be able to defend, and all that. If everyone's on the same page and everyone's working just as hard as each other, which I believe we are, it will turn. And that's what we've got to believe in, and that's what we're doing, and that's what we've committed to as a club.
I think we'll know a little bit more about Carlton in a couple of weeks. They've got Brisbane at Marvel, and then they've got Essendon at the MCG. We know what Brisbane can bring.
Yep.
And Essendon is that team that is a little bit inconsistent as well. Their good is decent, isn't it? And their poor is pretty low. So I think we'll know a little bit more about Carlton and where they sit in the group in a couple of weeks for me.
So, Doc, one of the criticisms, rightly or wrongly, from the weekend, it's not about what unfolded, but it was how it unfolded. And often when you have this conversation with a team after a loss, it's about effort and it's about defence. That's been the criticism levelled and labelled alongside Carlton on the weekend. For internally, without giving too much away, I suppose, did you see that as a problem? The defensive efforts, the intensity, I think the transition in defence sometimes is a bit of an issue for the Blues at the moment. You talked about speed of play before. That might be still a bit of a problem. But the effort and the intensity and the defensive aspect of the game was clearly the criticism that's come out since Saturday night. Did you see that as a big hole for the Blues on Saturday?
Well, I think if you break it down into little individual efforts at times through games, there's going to be that through every game. If you look from a holistic sort of approach in terms of how we actually defended, a lot of the markers that we chase, we were actually okay at on the weekend. And that's not saying that there weren't times that we needed to defend better. And I don't think any team will come into any game thinking that they've defended absolutely perfectly. There's times that when teams get through, we wish we could do a better job in terms of our individual defense and whatnot. But if we're looking at pure numbers that usually associate with wins, forward half turnovers and inside 50s, your ability to play the game in the forward half, we won both of those stats. So in terms of our defense as a whole, the numbers that we produce generally would equate to wins, which, and I know that there's a lot of people that probably sit at home and say you've got rose-colored glasses on and you know, the game was horrendous and whatnot, and that's okay. But in terms of some key statistical stats that we chase in terms of a group, in terms of trying to win a game of footy,
yep.
Generally, if you just break it all down, if you have more forward half turnovers, more inside 50s, more scoring shots, you're going to win games of footy. We didn't on the weekend.
Well, that's the Melbourne model at the moment.
Yeah, and that's, to be honest, that's a big model of the whole league. Yep. And that's generally, if you look statistically over the last few years, they're three stats that if you win them, you win a lot of games of footy. And that doesn't take away from the obvious of in terms of our skill level. If we finish a lot of those plays, I think, I don't know the exact stats, but their efficiency off turnover versus ours was significant different.
Yeah. So you kick 4 goals 11 from turnover, they kick 10 goals 1.
Yeah, so
it's a very different outcome.
If you get that somewhere near where it should be in terms of our efficiency, the game's a hell of a lot closer than what it is, and potentially some of the balls that we turned over then went the whole way down the other end of the ground. So, I think. It's hard to comment on people's opinions because they watch the game and they can have whatever opinion they feel like they want to have on our game of footy, and that's part of the media landscape. That's freedom of voice, really. I don't think that was our biggest issue on the weekend in terms of why we lost the game of footy.
What was?
I think it was our ability to finish our plays and our ability to connect with each other from an offensive point of view. Cost us, and that ends up costing us defensively because
yep.
You turn balls over with it, you're not expecting a turnover. It is quite hard to be able to defend off the back of that. But if we bring a forward half game most weeks, we win games of footy, and that's one of the key markers for us.
People talk about clubs when they have expectation of them, I reckon. And one of the challenges, I think we've discussed this widely in recent years, is the Gold Coast Suns go about their business and we sort of bypass them in commentary because they're not really anything that we expect too much of. There's a bit of heat on your club this year and certainly this week because there is some expectation. Does that build pressure within the walls? Can you feel that expectation and then the heat that comes with that within the walls when it doesn't go well?
I think that's generally being at a big club in Melbourne. There's there's expectation on you all the time, and when you're going well, it can seem like the world's going really well, and then when you're going poorly, it can go the other way. And if you speak to a lot of people in footy, your ability to stay sort of in a bit of a state of equilibrium in the middle, so your highs aren't ridiculously high and your lows aren't ridiculously low. There's plenty of quotes that people have said out there that the highs are never as good as they seem, the bad's never as bad as it seems. So that's in essence where you've got to live in a footy club, and you have to stay pretty stable in that, in terms of don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but then don't go
Dennis Pagan.
Yeah, and then but then don't go when you're going well, don't go and take everything for granted, and you lose your habits. It's the consistency of getting better week to week, and that's what we focus on in footy clubs. We don't focus on the hysteria of the game, and people might not want to hear that, but that's just what happens at clubs. We're focused and we're driven to get better as a footy team, as individuals, week to week, and that never changes. So we always rock up the next week doing the work that's going to make us better the week after. So we should be a better team this week than we were last week.
Yep.
Purely off the basis of we've learned a fair bit from the last game. We take that learning, we action it, and then we play. And then we repeat that process week after week after week, which means you should be playing your best footy at the end of the year because you've learned the most.
It depends where that pressure comes from as well, and those expectations, because externally the media build things up, and internally, as Sam was saying before, you know exactly the path that you're on. Latigue's coached 30 games, maybe.
32 games.
32, is it? Exactly. So he's still a really, really, really young coach, probably the youngest in the competition. So he's still learning as they go as well. So his expectation is going to be different to the Carlton supporter during the middle of preseason when everybody's flying thinking they can win the flag. So you've got to have a bit of reality there of whose expectation you listen to.
But I think, Boomer, if you're a supporter of Carlton or you're a supporter of Essendon, because there has been so little success in the last 20 years, there is impatience.
Absolutely.
And it's like the wick. It seems to burn a bit quicker on Carlton and Essendon because of the impatience over the last 20 years. And that's, unfortunately, the reality of the situation. So I don't know whether, say, a Ben Ruttner or a David Teague will have the same sort of time as other clubs, because there have been some unsuccessful rebuilds along the way. And that's a reality. But Carlton is close. So, Sam, you're getting judged on the fact that you're that emerging team that is wanting to jump into the eight. You want that internally. The fans want that externally. So you're going to be judged now higher than what you'd perhaps been judged when you went through some pretty dark times at the club, where there wasn't an expectation you were going to win.
Yeah, and that's an expectation that we're happy to have. And this is what I think that our group is ready for that expectation, and we're fully aware that it's where it is, and we're fully aware of what we need to do to be a better side. And we've said this the whole year that we're under no illusions that we need to work harder. You don't just jump from, I don't even know, we're 13th or 14th last year to top four. That just doesn't happen without a lot of hard work, and we know that. And that's the thing that I can stress here is we're working bloody hard as a footy club. Every team is, but I think that we're working extremely hard to be a top footy side in the future. And that's what you need to do. And on your point to the fans and the frustration, that's what makes Carlton footy fans so good. Like, they're so passionate, they're so driven for us to be successful. And that's what makes our club's fans who they are. And that's okay. It's like, as much as sometimes you wish that they'd sometimes give you a break, but that relentless pursuit of success and the passion that they bring to games and to our club is what we love about them. So I'm not saying lose any of that. And it's just, I think we just need to just take a back seat and just relax for a bit and enjoy the ride of what it is. And that's a footy club we're on the up, we're working bloody hard, and we believe in what we're doing. And as long as everyone believes that, then the results will continue to take care of themselves.
And you know that better than most because you were a Carlton fan growing up. So you were one of those.
Yeah, I was one of those.
Hey, just on your co-captain, Paddy Cripps, and the amount of scrutiny, I guess, pressure, focus, spotlight on him. You know, it was only after about round two that the game had gone past Patrick. Is he going to re-sign at the footy club? He's trying to do too much. He's trying too hard. How is he going personally, and how are you assessing him as a footballer and a leader at the moment?
Yeah, he's going fine. I think there's it's part of the game. When you come out of contract, there's just the spotlight comes on you, and that's just the reality of. And I think it happens across the league every year, and he's working extremely hard as a leader. He's so invested in this group and so invested in getting us to where we want to go that, like, it's hard work for to be a leader of any footy club, but it's also the challenge of why you love doing it, and he's as invested as you possibly can be in dragging this group to where we all want to go. And I think it's another one of those ones that when you're a great player, there's great expectations. It's like a footy club. It's just on an internal point of view. There's just one person that the spotlight goes on. And when you've produced the way that he's produced over his career, if there's a 5% drop in performance, people love to point that out, especially when things aren't going the best at the club. There's always pinpoints that you can just start going at different players. And at the moment, he's probably the forefront of where everyone's sort of pointing. But he's a bloody hard worker. I don't know if any of you guys have met him too much. Half obviously has, but he will work incredibly hard to get himself to where he wants to be and the player he wants to be. And I've got no doubt that whatever form slump that everyone thinks he's in, he'll get out of it quite comfortably.
And how are you going?
Me?
Yeah, because you've had a few moments in the last few weeks, and you know, we watch Sam a lot closer because we get to spend some time with you, and there's been a few moments deep in defence. How are you coping with it all?
Oh, it's a tough one. It's my game is probably a reflection of our team a little bit at the moment. I'm doing 90% of my game, probably the best I've ever done it over my career, and there's that little 10% that you're trying to just reduce in terms of, you know, I seem to kick a ball out in the full every week and I've dropped a couple of marks. But that's footy. Everyone, I think in life, you got to understand that everyone's going to make mistakes. It's about reducing the impact of your mistakes, firstly, which on the weekend I had a couple of costly ones, which, as I said before, I just got to work bloody hard to reduce that gap. And but in terms of my overall footy, I'm probably doing the best I have for a very long time, and that's going back to what's perceived as my best years of my career. I feel like I'm a better player than I was then in terms of my ability to defend. First off, in terms of individually team defense, but at the moment there's just some glaring obvious mistakes that I'm making, which is exactly what the group is doing. So it's the one great thing about footy is you play a week, you get to work extremely hard the next week to be able to come out and play better the week after, and that's my quest, to be the best player I can be. And there's some areas that I've grown really well in, and some stuff that I just got to tidy up, and that's the enjoyment of footy.
Sam, tell us about Sam Walsh. Like, you get spoken about a fair bit, and I love when they read. I was lucky enough to work with Sam in the Australian. What do you call it?
I don't know what I call
you
it.
You call it some juggernaut, I think it was when it used to go.
Oh, those no, trips junket, junket,
junket, junket, junket, junket. That's right. Was lucky enough to work with Sam, and I people were saying trade number one, trade number one. I knew it was going to be Sam Walsh, and I urged Carlton just to say, do not trade number one. This kid is special. I could see his work rate from a mile away, and I was just speaking to you off air before. Tell us about his work ethic. And I mean, he's racking up the numbers, and for me, it's through one thing. It's through work rate. Is he the same at training?
Yeah, and I said off air that when a genuine superstar walks in your door, from almost day one, you can tell that they're going to be something special. And we spoke about it when he first came in. Just the thing that stood out to us was his training habits and his intent at training, his intensity at training. And that's just followed through his game. He's getting better and better each week. In terms of his work ethic, it's his drive to be the best that is going to get him to the level that he wants to go to. And that's little things for me. Like, he plans his week to a T in terms of what he wants to get done, in terms of his skill, his recovery. Like, everything is so meticulous in the way he goes about it during the week. And then he comes out and performs on game day. The bit that he's got that a lot of players don't is he's tough, but he can run.
Yep.
That blend.
It's a good mixture, isn't it?
That's the hardest blend to have in footy. Like, there's a lot of guys that are extremely tough inside, good players with their hands, but then they struggle on transition. And then you've got a lot of guys that can run that can't win the ball on the inside. And to be able to have both, that's the sweet spot of footy. And No, I'm excited to see what he's going to produce over the next.
He's a competitor. That's what he is.
And that's one of the great things. You have one of them in your team. You can build around a lot of that. So, excited to see what he's going to do in the future.
There was even talk last year about did they get the draft right? Would have you had the King boys before him, Rankin, Lukosius? Absolutely, he was number one for me, and still is.
Well, and playing like it at the moment as well. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of eyes on the box on the weekend and plenty of people in the stadium at Marvel Stadium on 4:35 on Saturday as the Blues take on the Lions. Another big test for another preliminary finalist again last year, just said Doc. Good luck to you. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for having me in again.
Always a pleasure. Sam Doherty with us from the Blues in the Sanctum. We'll get to the news after a little break, and then Boomer is going to hang around and talk some more footy issues with us as well. The AFL's just released rounds 9 and 10. We can tell you that, and we'll tell you more about what that looks like going forward for the AFL season. And Carlton fans, we'll take your calls after the break. 1300 652 927 on The Breakfast Club.